He went to camp because y'all prayed for him. On Saturday, they said his ankle was broken. On Monday morning, when he goes to the doctor, he says it's just sprained. But he still can't put any weight on the knee or on the foot. And then by Wednesday night, when the boys and girls gathered around him and prayed for him again, the healing was finished. It was totally, totally healed. And he gets up off of it. Next thing I know, he's out in the parking lot running and testing. We were laughing because he only brought one tennis shoe. Because he had his boot on the other foot. And so he had to go grab his brother's extra pair of shoes, and he puts them on. They were too big. But, man, he was running. He goes down to the gym and starts playing basketball. And I'll be honest with you, in my flesh, I was kind of like, do you think you really ought to do that? And I said, wait a second. If I trust God healed him, then he's healed. And so we said, well, do we even need to go back to the doctor and have the because they were going to do an MRI. And we had worked to try to get it scheduled before we took him to camp. And so I was like, well, do we want to do that? And I said, yeah, let's go get the MRI and just so the doctor can, because the doctor knew there was something wrong with it. And this way the doctor will know, listen, God touched him, and he is completely healed. And that's so exciting. He did the same thing for Kimberly, and he'll do the same thing in your life. He's not a respecter of persons. Sometimes it happens immediately. Sometimes it happens over a period of days. Sometimes it happens through doctors. Sometimes it happens. But God is faithful to keep his promise. Aren't you thankful this morning for that? Amen. Well, let's have the ushers come forward, and we're going to go ahead and receive our morning tithes and offerings. I want to encourage you to be a giver. Amen. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm not talking about just money. Giving is so much more than money. Amen. Giving is your time. Giving truly is of yourself. It's just having an attitude of giving. And we so appreciate your faithfulness, all the giving that you do to help keep Destiny Church going. And but you know what? You're not giving to us. You're given to God. Amen. And this is just an extension of the worship that we've just sang about how great God is. And now we want to give back to him out of what he has given to us. Amen. Hey, Wesley, I'm going to have you pray for the offering this morning. Can you do that?
Sure. Lord God, I just pray that you would just bless each and every one of us, Lord Jesus, and that you will multiply, Lord Jesus, what we sow into your ministry, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that you would just help us to have a joyful heart, Lord Jesus, as we give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I forgot, I got one more announcement. Y'all go ahead and pass the buckets. On August the 13th, that's not in your slides, Jocelyn, so don't worry about it. August the 13th, we are going to have another tag team preaching session. And so, and the thing I'm most excited about is we've got two brand new young people that are saying they feel the call of God to preach, they feel the call of God to be in ministry, that are going to be helping bring the word on that Sunday. And so we're going to be doing, they're going to be preaching from the word rise. Come on, how do you know it's time in the kingdom of God to rise up? Come on, it's time to rise up. And so they're going to be doing rise. And so I'm so excited. Hannah Bradshaw came to me, and Hannah said, man, I just really feel God has been working in my life, and I just really feel like I am supposed to do something in ministry. I don't even know what it is yet, but I'm so excited about it. And so I encouraged Hannah to step out, and so I asked her, I said, well, I want you to preach. And she said, okay. And she said, and then she came back to me, and she said, no, I felt that when you asked me. She goes, I know that I want to preach. And so she's going to be doing the R, realizing that it's time to rise up. And then I'm excited because Wesley, how we baptized Wesley just a couple of years ago back into the faith, and Wesley's kind of strayed and been all over the place, but he's got his heart right with God and has been on fire for God now for several months, quit his job so that he could come back to church on Sundays. I mean, you know, that's a big deal. It's hard to find a Monday through Friday job, but Wesley said, man, I'm just missing out on so much. And so Wesley's going to be preaching on that week. He's going to do the I, which is intimacy, and then our two old-timers, Dave and Larry, are going to finish it up. Dave's going to do separate. So I'm kidding, not old timers. They're not old. They're young. Separate, being separated unto God, and then Larry's going to finish it off with expectancy, because you got to have an expectancy like Kimberly talked about this morning, that God is going to move. Amen? And so I'm excited about hearing these guys preach and giving these young kids an opportunity. Come on, you know we've got to invest in the next generation. Tyler, you can preach one of these Sundays, okay? And who else we got in here? You get Gary and Ken, some of y'all. All right, so we've got to raise them up, right? Come on, we've got to raise up. They've got to be given opportunities to preach and to get in the Word. So that's what we're going to do. We've been talking about, for several weeks now, we have been talking about faith in God. Amen? We've been talking about having an explosion of faith in our lives. And it's so exciting when you have that explosion of faith and then you begin to see God show up and move and answer what you've been talking about and praying for and believing. When you see two people healed in a couple of weeks and you see the power of God moving on the boys and girls like it was last Sunday. We had, I think, 10 kids all together. I had 15 boys in my cabin, and 12 of the 15 got baptized in the Holy Spirit while we were there. I mean, that's awesome to see the power of God moving in their life. And so we have been declaring these five statement explosion of faith. I hope some of you got your cards. You've put them around the house in different places. Excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. You ever have that? Whew, okay, I thought it was going to come, but it didn't come. All right, so we've been declaring these five things about, can you put, are they up, are they in there? They're not in there. All right, we've got a, Jocelyn's doing the words for me this morning, and so, all right, let's see if we can remember the five without being cued. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks. Come on, who remembers what the first? Let's all stand up. Come on, let's say them together if you can. Come on, number one, God is who His Word says He is. Come on, number two, God is able to do what He says He can do. Number three, I am who God says I am. Number four, I can do all things through Christ. And number five, God's Word is live and active in me. I'm believing God. Amen. Come on, you need to declare those things every day. You can sit down. You need to declare those things every day over your life. We're believing God. We've got to have an explosion of faith in our hearts, because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, help me out, it's impossible to please God. So we've got to have that kind of faith. So open your Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. I just want to show you this scripture. It's going to be key to where we're going in our message this morning. If you don't have your Bibles, bring your Bibles to church. That would be really good. You can click to it in your phone if you use your phone. That's fine too. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. They should come up on the screen. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And notice this. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message, and he had understanding of the vision. So let me ask you some questions. Was the message true? Did he understand the message? Did he understand the vision? Yes. But did the vision happen in his lifetime? No. Did he believe the vision? Did he have faith in the vision? Yeah, absolutely. But did it happen in his lifetime? No. And I'm going to share two things with you this morning, just two simple things that I think are key to understanding something that God wants us to know about faith. If you didn't get sermon notes, we'll get sermon notes to you, because it's really good when God shows you something while somebody's preaching to be able to write down what God is showing you. So I want to encourage you to use those notes if you can. There's room on the back to write on them. And I want you to get these two things about faith this morning, to almost memorize these things, because they will change your life if you can grasp these things and you can understand them. Listen, so many people deal with disappointment over faith in their lives. And this morning, I think God is wanting to set some people free and set some things straight in your heart about what faith truly is. So I think we have some misconceptions about faith. And listen, I've got to say this from the outset. I can't cover every aspect of this subject, right? You know that. I can't touch on every single aspect of everything that I preach about. I can't be all inclusive in my message about faith. And so people will come to me all the time after I get done preaching and they'll say, you know, you should have said this. And I'll say, I know that. I know. I'm trying to be funny. But I can't preach every single, you understand, don't you? I can't talk about every single aspect. That's why we're doing this series, or these messages in a series, so that we can talk about as much about faith as we can. And so I try to preach to you every week what I feel like God is wanting you to hear, what I feel like God is wanting to feed you. And this morning, I think this is the most important thing that He wants you to understand about faith, what we're going to talk about. And it's just two things. So here we go. Are you ready? Come on, say you're ready. I'm ready. All right. Number one, faith is not believing for something. Faith is not believing for something. Now, I know we pray for things, but there's a difference between praying for something and believing for or in something. Why don't you move over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at several verses out of this chapter. We've been looking at this chapter off and on over the last few weeks as we've been talking about faith. But you know Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Faith by Bible scholars because of all of the great men and women of God who walked in faith that are mentioned in this chapter. And so Hebrews 11, 13, it says, these all, how many? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they believed the promises. They embraced the promises. But look at that. None of them received the promises. Yet they all died in faith. Isn't that incredible? So let's keep going. Verse 32. We're talking about it's not believing for something. It's not about believing for an outcome. Verse 32. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel, and watch this, the prophets. So he's going to talk about some people, but he's not going to mention their names. He's going to tell some things that happened to some of these that were prophets, but he doesn't tell you their name. The reason I'm telling you that is because he's going to say something about Daniel, who Jesus said was a prophet, and I think you'll pick up what he said. We started in Daniel this morning, so I want you to see that. Verse 33, who through faith, all of these people, died, not having received the promises, but through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and look at this, stopped the mouths of lions. Who's that talking about? Daniel. Look at the next part. Remember, Daniel had three friends, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire. Who did that? Daniel's three friends, right? Now watch this next part, because I want you to focus on this next part. It's going to be very important. We're going to tie it into something. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to flight, the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And we're going to keep reading, but let me stop here for a moment. All of these people we're reading about did all these awesome things by faith. Right? They did all these awesome miracles, all these things that happened in their life. And one of the things mentioned that they did by faith was escape the edge of the sword. But now look at verse 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. That would stink. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, all of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all, how many? All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Are you with me there, Jason? Nope. From what we just read, let me ask you two questions. Did those who escaped the sword have faith? Let me ask it again since everybody didn't answer. Did all those who escaped the sword have faith? Yes. And here's the main question. Did all those who were slain by the sword have faith? Do you want to know why? Because faith is not believing for something. Do you realize how many believers are disappointed in God, disillusioned by God, because they believed for something and it didn't happen? Come on, we should pray for things to happen. But we don't put our faith in that thing we're praying for happening. We put our faith in God. You have to put your faith in Him, not in something. And so many people will say, you've heard this, I prayed for so-and-so to get better, or I prayed for so-and-so to live, or I prayed for this, or I prayed for that, and it didn't happen. And what they're telling you is that because that thing didn't happen, they've turned their back on God. They've walked away. They've quit having faith. We should pray for things, but faith is not believing for something. If you're working a job and all of a sudden you find out that your company is having layoffs, so you're believing God not to be laid off. You say, I'm believing God that I'm not going to be laid off. Well, what happens when you get laid off? See, according to what you're believing, it's as if God didn't really answer. Because I'm believing God not to be laid off. Or it's almost like God wasn't faithful. Because you're having faith not to get laid off, but you get laid off. But what if out of the layoff you end up with a better job, better pay, closer to home, better hours, better benefits, better people to work with, and through the process you grow closer to God, closer to your family, you grow in your faith? Come on, was it a bad thing then that you got laid off? No, of course not. And listen, I'm not even saying that God made you get laid off. Come on, people go to that extreme too. Well, God did it, or was it the devil? Or was it just a bad decision? Come on, if we'll be honest, we're sometimes blaming things on the devil and we get the word mixed up. It does start with a D, but it's our own bad decisions. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul. And I, you know, I've come to the point in my life where I've quit worrying about whether it's God or whether it's the devil, because either way, it passes through the same hands. There is nothing that comes into your life that didn't pass through the hands of God, that didn't come across His desk first. Well, come on, we live in a world where people get laid off. It just happens. Let me give you a verse for it. Matthew 5:45, it rains on the just and the unjust. Come on. Now, let's bring that down to our illustration. The just and the unjust get laid off. But the difference is the just, God will work it for their good. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
See, faith is not the absence of difficulties. It's the nearness of God through the difficulty. All right, I'm seeing if y'all are awake. Come on, faith is not, you can write that down. Faith is not the absence of difficulties, it's the nearness of God through the difficulties. Come on, sometimes you just need to go back and say, who is God? What has He done in my life? You've got to go back to who you know that God is. And listen, God is very tactical in this. So sometimes He creates a situation so that you'll have a revelation. Come on, are you with me? God creates a situation so that you'll have a revelation. Can I preach this for just a minute? So He'll let Lazarus die. And He loves Lazarus. And when they tell Him Lazarus is dead, what does He say? I'm glad he's dead. Jesus actually said, I'm glad that he's dead for your sakes. Come on, they only knew Him up till that point as healer. But Jesus wanted them to know Him as the resurrection and the life. Come on, you don't know truth until you've had some lies told about you. You won't know Him as faithful until you've been through some unfaithfulness. You won't know Him as love until you have been unloved. Come on, there's going to be difficulties in life, and God sometimes will create situations in order to give you a revelation of who He is and what He wants to do in your life. We're going to go through difficulties. We wouldn't have Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, if these people hadn't been through some difficulties. Each one of these people went through difficulties because faith is not believing for something. Faith, number two, is believing in someone. Faith is believing in someone. Come on, I told you God could give you a situation in order to give you a revelation. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I saw something this week that I'd never seen before, and I think it's going to speak to you. I hope it speaks to you. I think God wants to give you a revelation this morning. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you ask people, what is faith? A lot of times they'll say, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so if you really want to trip them up, then you'll say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's the substance of hope, and it's the, come on, you know, what does it mean? So what does it mean when it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Come on, God wants to give you a revelation this morning out of this verse to help your faith. What does this verse mean? Let me help you. I'm going to ask a question this morning and see if this helps you with what God showed me this week. What if this is not referring to something, but to someone? In other words, instead of something happening, which is the evidence of things not seen? What if someone is the evidence of things not seen? Are you with me? Come on. What if someone is the substance that we put our hope in? Rather than something. Well, listen, if you know this, if you put your hope in something happening, you're going to be disappointed. If you put your hope in something or some outcome, you're going to be disappointed. If you put your hope in someone, as long as that someone is Jesus, you will never be disappointed. Come on, God wants to give us a revelation. Let me show you this morning. Now, if I'm going to tell you that God showed me something, God gave me a revelation this week, I need to be able to back it up with Scripture. So I want to point that out to you. Because if somebody ever comes and tells you that God gave them a revelation and they don't have Scripture to back it up, then they just probably ate too much pizza. So make sure that what they're telling you they can back up with Scripture. So I went to my concordance this week and I began to do some word study and I looked up the word substance to see how it was translated into other scriptures in the Bible. The word substance is used in the New Testament 5 times. Only 5 times. Now, I'm going to read you another verse, and I want you to see if I'm reading it, as I'm reading it, if you can pick out the word that is translated as substance in Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to read you Hebrews 1:3. It says, "Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the power of His word, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Now, I doubt that any of you know in that verse which word is the one that's translated as substance in Hebrews 11:1. Maybe some of you Bible scholars, maybe y'all could pick it out. Maybe you could figure it out. But I doubt it. I had to look again and make sure that I was reading the right word. Let me show you which word it is. "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person." Person. It's the same Greek word that's translated substance in Hebrews 11:1. The person. Come on. It's referring to Jesus. You know what Hebrews 1:3 is actually saying? Jesus is the substance of God. One of the kids in Sunday school came to Renee a couple of Sundays ago, and they said, maybe it was while they were at camp, and she said, "Miss Renee, what does God look like?" And so we were talking about it, and I said, "Well, when somebody asks me that question, what I tell them is, look at Jesus. Jesus is the express image of the Godhead," the Bible says. He is the fullness of Godhead in bodily form, Colossians chapter 1. He is the fullness of deity. He's the fullness of God. You want to know who God looks like? Then look at Jesus. Jesus is the substance of God. Now, think about that at Hebrews 11:1 again. Jesus is what we put our hope in. Now, let's look at the word evidence from Hebrews 11:1. It's only used 3 times in the New Testament. And let me read you another verse where it's used. You tell me if you can pick out the word that means evidence. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Anybody got an idea what would be translated as evidence, what the Greek word is? It's for reproof. Reproof. Now, when I read that verse, I've read that verse for years. I believe that verse, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But when I read it, I always thought it was kind of redundant. For reproof, for correction, isn't that the same thing? That's kind of what I thought. I knew there had to be a difference or it wouldn't have listed it. But you look at it and you think reproof and correction are the same thing, but they're not. Reproof is actually the word evidence. So let's read it again. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for evidence, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." It means evidence. So what's the evidence? The Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus. So here's what Hebrews 11 is actually saying. Jesus is the substance of things we hoped for, and Jesus is the evidence of things we can't see. I'm telling you what, that's good. I don't care who you are. That's good. It's not that something happens is the evidence of things I can't see. It's not something, and now I believe. It's I believe in God. He is the one I put my hope in. He's the one I put my faith in, and He will work it for my good no matter the outcome, no matter what I go through. Think about it this way. When we say, I'm believing God for, what does that mean when we put the four on there? When we say I'm believing God for, aren't we really limiting God? What we're actually saying is, I'm believing God for what I think is best in the situation. Or I'm believing God for what I want to have happen. Or if you need me to be just a little bit more blunt, we could say it this way, I'm believing God for my will and not His will to be done. That wasn't Jesus' prayer. Now, like I said, you can pray four things. We need to pray four things. We just don't put our faith in things. Jesus prayed, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's faith. You'll never be disappointed when you put your faith in God and not in something happening. And by the way, it says, we looked at it, they all died in faith, not having received the promises. So let me ask you a trick question. I'm telling you up front. But don't answer it. Okay? I don't want you to answer it. Okay, because you'll mess up. Okay, so I know you want to answer. Some of you just want to talk. I know how you are. You're going to feel compelled to answer, but don't, okay? All right. Here's the question. Are you ready? Don't answer. It's a trick question. I know you want to, but don't. Did they receive the promises? Now, don't answer. What you would think is no. From this verse. Because it says all these died in faith, not having received the promises. But that's only part of the story. They did receive the promises, but not in their lifetime. Not in their lifetime. It says they died in faith, not having received the promises. But you go on and you find out that when Jesus died on the cross, that when he was taken down off the cross, that his body descended into hell and he took the keys of death and hell and the grave from Satan, and he went and preached to those who had been in paradise, those that we're talking about that had died in faith. And he led them back to the gates of heaven from the place of waiting where they had died in faith, looking forward to the promise. What was the promise they were looking for? Jesus, their Messiah that would come. That was the promise that they were looking for. They were looking forward to the Messiah, and that was their salvation. We look backwards to the Messiah, who is our salvation. But they died not having received it while they were living. They died in faith. Come on. You know what? Or why many of us get disappointed at God? Because most of our prayers are focused on now. They're focused on the temporal and not on the eternal. God, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Or I want you to do this. Instead of understanding that God has an eternal purpose, and that God loves us and He's going to work everything for our good. We don't always understand why. We're going to talk about this next week. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul, Acts 27 and 28. A few years ago, or maybe 2 years ago, I preached a message. Y'all remember, it will happen. We're going to talk next week. It had to happen. It had to happen. Some things in your life had to happen. Instead of understanding that God has an eternal purpose, we fixate on the outcome instead of focusing on the revelation of who He is in the midst of that. Now, this is going to help you if you'll receive it this morning. Come on, maybe you're believing God because your marriage is failing. Your marriage is struggling. There's things that are bad, and people are going, I'm believing God that we won't end, that our marriage won't end in divorce. Well, what if it does end in divorce? It rocks your faith when things like that happen. You're believing God to heal somebody and God doesn't heal them, they die. It rocks your faith. People say to me all the time, I've had faith before. But what I had faith in or what I had faith for didn't happen. You can't have faith in the outcome. You've got to have faith in God. That no matter what God is doing, no matter what is happening, God's going to work it for my good. And I trust God. Let me give you one more thing. We started in the book of Daniel. And remember, Daniel had three friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they went through the fire, right? Come on, they went through the fire. Isaiah 43 and verse 2, interestingly, says, when you go through the waters, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. But notice he doesn't say that there won't be any rivers. He doesn't say that there won't be any water. He doesn't say that there won't be any fire. Come on, like I said, faith is not the absence of difficulties. It's going through the difficulty with God. And they made the greatest statement of faith, I believe, in almost all of Scripture in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And they said, our God will deliver us. Our God will deliver us from your hand. That's faith. But even if He doesn't, we'll still serve. We'll still serve Him. We're not bowing down to the image that you have, O King. Our God will. And there are some hyper-faith teachers out there that you've heard and I've heard that'll say, well, that's not faith if you put the word but in the sentence. If you say faith but, well, I think it's faith. Because what they were saying was our faith is not in something. Our faith is in someone. They didn't say our God can. They didn't say our God might. They said our God will deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we still got faith. We're not going to bow. Come on, that is so good. That's so good. Come on, you've got to catch this revelation that your faith has to be in God. That it can't be in an outcome. That it can't be in something that you're wanting to happen. That it can't even be in, listen, God, I'm believing You to deliver me from these evil thoughts. I'm believing You to deliver me from these things that are going on in my life. Come on, my faith is not in the outcome. My faith is in God, that even if it doesn't happen when or how I want it to happen, I will not falter. I will not fail. I will not bow the knee. My faith is in You. Because faith is not believing for something. Faith is believing in Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the substance of things we hoped for. He's the evidence of things we've not seen. Years ago, I did the Experiencing God Bible study. Great Bible study. And they talked about John 14:6, where it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And talked about truth. And sometimes we think of truth as a concept. Truth is a philosophy. Pilate asked Jesus when he stand before him. What is truth? And think about it as a philosophy concept. But listen to me. Jesus said, I am the truth. Truth is a person. The way is a person. The life comes from the person of Jesus. Well, you know what? Hebrews 11:1 is saying faith is a person. Because the only faith that works is the faith in God. Wow, doesn't that make so much more sense when the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that it's impossible to please God without faith, without believing in Jesus, without trusting Jesus for everything to happen in our life? It's impossible to please Him. Because you've got to believe everything that He's done, everything He said, every word, every promise. Just like we sang about, every promise is yes and amen. All of His promises, everything He says, the Word of God is all about Jesus. From beginning to end, it's Him. From beginning to end, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Because it's Him. He's the substance. He's the evidence. And we put our faith in Him, not in something, not in what we want to happen, but in Him. And we trust Him regardless of the outcome. Let's all stand. Let's all stand and worship God this morning. Jesus, I thank You. Lord, You are the one we put our faith in. Lord, You are the one that our hope is in. Lord, You are the substance. You are the evidence. You are the person. You're the presence that we need in our life. God, our faith is built on You. We put our hope in You. And come on, if you're here this morning and there are things that are happening in your life that you don't understand, situations in your life that you don't understand, come on, get your eyes off the storm and get your eyes focused on Jesus. You may never understand totally in this life why certain things are happening certain way. But we put our trust and our hope in God. Father, this morning, Lord, I pray that You would touch each person. Lord, You would, Lord, help us to burn these things in our heart. Lord, that our faith is not in something, but our faith is in You. Our faith is in someone, the God of heaven and earth. Place where our help comes from. I lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We fix our eyes on You, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank You. Come on, just tell the Lord that this morning. I put my hope, I put my trust in You. Lord, come on, You will not be disappointed. Oh, we put our hope and our trust in You, God. We will not be disappointed because all Your promises are yes and amen. All of your truths, God, all of Your word, they're yes and amen. Father, we thank You. Oh, we worship You, God. If you need prayer this morning, just get out of your seat and come. We want to pray for you. This morning.
Father of kindness, You have poured out grace, brought me out of darkness, You have filled me with peace. Give a mercy, O my help, in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faith.
else in prayer this morning.
Something just came over me that I needed to come up here. I know a lot of you know my grandmother, and it's Glenda, and she's been praying so hard for me for a long time because I went off track, and all those situations that he was preaching about, I've had them, and I've lived them, and they've been hard and so hard, and sometimes I didn't know if I could make it, but it is a revelation today because I'm standing here.
Amen.
And I have a beautiful life, and he has saved me.
Amen.
And because I didn't give up, and I had that faith, and my grandmother prayed, and I know she prayed me in here. I know. I know, I'm without a doubt, everything that happened, she prayed me there. And probably a lot of you too. And I just want to thank y'all so much because I have this beautiful son and daughter back there. It's just I have a beautiful life. Everything's not easy, but I thank God for those situations. And anybody that's struggling, he'll bring you out.
Amen.
I know he will because I had that revelation.
Yes.
Because I stand here sober and free. Free.
Amen.
For the first time in a long time.
Amen. 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 Come on, y'all stretch your hands toward. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for that revelation that only you can give, Lord. That even when things are hard, even when the situations rise, Father, that, Lord, your hand never leaves us. You are always with us. And God, I thank you that you make things beautiful in your time. Lord, you take the broken pieces and you bring healing. And Lord, you bring restoration. And Lord, I thank you. Lord, by her own testimony, she is free this morning. God, I thank you for it. I thank you for that revelation that you are the things that she's hoped for and put her faith in. And God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning.